The homeschool dream is to have a student who independently does his schoolwork, right? You hand them the books, you hand them the checklist, and they are off to the races doing their work with cheerful interest. Yeah, so is that working? Let's talk about what it actually takes to teach our children how to be independent homeschool students. Hi, I'm Misty Winkler, homeschooling mom of five. We have two graduates, two high schoolers still at home, and one 11-year-old. So I've been through the checklist process many times and have mostly independent homeschool students. But what that really looks like in an average, normal homeschool day is not what I thought it would look like when I had elementary students and I was working so hard to give them independent work and have them just do their schoolwork on their own. The dream is different from the reality. But the reality is still good. It's still worth it to put in the time to teach our children how to be independent learners. It just actually takes most of the time that they're in our homeschool. It's a process that we should stick with as homeschool moms, recognizing our responsibility in the big picture of teaching our students life management skills as well as their actual education. So grab a basket of laundry to fold and let's dig in. So teaching our kids to work independently and responsibly is about so much more than just handing them a checklist. The checklist is necessary for them to be an independent worker, but it's not sufficient. You need more than just the checklist for a student to become an independent learner, which is a great goal. It's just a goal that usually takes much longer than we expect. Without having a homeschool checklist that both the student and yourself as the teacher can refer back to, then the student is left on their own to determine for himself what he's actually going to work on. And that's already going to be a temptation for our students. So we don't want to give the impression that they can do whichever schoolwork they feel like doing at the time. That doesn't work for us at home with our chores, with the housework, the laundry, the meals, and it doesn't work for kids and their schoolwork either. But that is the natural tendency that we will all default toward if our work isn't laid out for us clearly. So the homeschool checklist's job is to lay out the work that needs to be done. Then the student's job becomes using the checklist, looking at it, doing what it says. This means that the checklist needs to be accurate and clear. Many kids have that inner lawyer inside where they can reinterpret and adjust on the fly and justify themselves in doing as little as possible if given the smallest inch. So whereas with our checklists, as the homeschool mom, we might use some shorthand, some acronyms to express what needs to be done, we don't want to do that on our kids' checklist. We know what we mean for ourselves, but we don't want to have any kind of ambiguity when it comes to communicating what is expected with our kids. Exact page numbers in the exact book, perhaps word counts on written narration, if we can make those assignments given on their checklist as clear and specific as possible, we're going to have a greater chance at success with them. Because the checklist really is just a communication tool. So we have to ask ourselves as we make up the checklist, is this tool actually communicating very clearly, very specifically? So there will be no room for excuses for my students when they refer back to this and say, does it actually tell them exactly what they should be doing? So I talked about the difference between mom's homeschool checklist and kids' homeschool checklist and an annual plan checklist for our homeschools, the three checklists that we need to make things work in the last video. You definitely want to check that out if you missed that one. But the kids' checklist is the tool that we use to inculcate, to teach, to cultivate responsibility and independent work. The reality is that that takes actual discipleship, actual follow through on our part as mom. It takes a lot more than just making and handing over a checklist. That won't cut it. That won't make an independent learner at all. So there are, in my experience, three stages of independent work in our homeschools. The first stage is about 8 to 11-ish. Now, sometimes younger students who have older siblings really want a checklist to be like everyone else, and I have humored that desire to want to do school. I've encouraged that if it's there, but I don't really make a checklist that I hold them accountable to until they're 7 or 8 years old. Then at 7 or 8 years old, I make a checklist for each of my students that has exactly what's expected of them each day. This is a commitment to my kids primarily that I'm not going to keep adding work on them so that if they work hard and get their work done, I'm not going to say, oh good, you got that done. I have more you could do. The checklist communicates to them, if you do this work, you will have done your school. You can read for fun. You can go play outside. You can meet up with your friends after this limited amount of work is complete. So on their checklist will also be lessons with me. Not just their independent work, but anything that they have to do before their school day is over. So then our family definition of when school is over is when your checklist is complete. And a huge part of teaching them to use the checklist is to make it the thing that each one of us refers back to determine what to do next and to determine if we're done. So always the last thing on my kids' homeschool checklist will be put away your school things. It's not just the schoolwork, although most of the things on the checklist are their schoolwork, but anything that has to be done for that school day to be done goes on their checklist. And then it's our responsibility as the homeschooling mom to teach our children to refer back to that list. And we do that by asking them questions and referring with our words and with our actions to their checklist as the source of what to do next, not mom. So they don't ask me what to do next. Well, they do often. And I say, well, let's look at your checklist. And then I model for them looking at the checklist and saying, well, would you like to do this, this, or this? But I'm working with them using the checklist as a tool to refer back to make decisions, and to determine whether or not we are done for the day. Any information about what school is happening each and every day comes not from my head and not out my mouth. But it's communicated on the checklist. That's where we go to look to find out what to do next. But then students in this 8 to 11 year old time frame need daily accountability for that checklist. So they really aren't done with school until I have verified that their checklist is complete. They don't get to say whether or not they are done. They don't determine whether or not their school day is over. That's a level of independence that they are not ready for at this age. So they bring their checklist to me, their clipboard, their work that they've done to show me, and I verify that they have done their work for the day and that they've done their work for the day in a satisfactory manner. What I'll often do is then put a star on that day on the checklist. And so the star in a purple pen says, "Mom has checked this over. You are done for the day." And it's a fun little perk. If I haven't starred the checklist, then I can remember that and say, "Wait a second, what are you doing reading on your bed? I haven't seen your checklist. You're not done with your school if I haven't checked off your checklist. So let's get back to it." Having that tool of accountability to refer everyone back to, so it's not just mom in panic mode, is so helpful for keeping our kids accountable and on track, and ourselves for that matter. Then the second stage of using homeschool checklists starts around 11 to 14. The ages that kids are ready for more independence varies greatly during this time. Once puberty begins happening, kids will naturally desire more independence from us as their mom. And so we want to facilitate that in as many healthy ways as we can. And one tool that we can facilitate their independence is with the checklist that they already have learned how to use. They already know what it means to do their work for the day, to go back to the checklist and look at it. We can give them a little bit more accountability, a little bit more independence as they reach those puberty years. But we have to still stay engaged as the mom. They are not ready at this age to be let loose and just checked on once a week or once a month. Schooling is not going to happen if you as the homeschool mom aren't checking in on their work most days. Now, maybe it doesn't have to be getting a little star in their checklist every single day, but at the most, every other day. Still aiming for most days, you want to see their checklist and their work for the day. No matter how much they don't like it, they are not ready for independence yet, although they might put up a fuss that they are. However, at this age, I would not expect as the mom to have to point them back to the checklist multiple times a day, and more of the things on their checklist will not be with me. So they do have more independent work in that they're doing work where mom is not at their elbow, but they still have to check in with mom to be done for the day. Mom still has to look at their work to be sure that it was done and done in a satisfactory manner. Most of the kids' writing and reading, perhaps math, depending on the program that you're using at this time, will be things that they can do on their own. And they can have the level of independence where they can do the work that's listed for the day in whatever order they would like. Whereas usually with the younger students, I will not require, but I will recommend doing the work in the order that I've written it. Usually because they need check-ins with mom throughout the day. So I'll like alternate things that they can do on their own versus their things that they do with me. And I will be strategic in how I list the items on their checklist so that they aren't just sitting for too long at a stretch. But by the time they are 11 or 12 and up until freshman in high school, around 14, they can experiment with their own ordering of their subjects. And they will make mistakes, but they still have to get their schoolwork done. And learning by natural consequences is the best way for them to learn. So they might try out a tactic that doesn't work very well, and they just still have to do the work and suffer the consequences of their experiment, and then experiment in a different way the next time. Our goal isn't to have no math tears ever and a totally fun school day every single day, especially in the puberty years. Our goal is to teach them to grow up, to take responsibility, and they will learn to love learning. The more they learn, the better they get at the process. So this is really our time to hold their feet to the fire and keep them at the process, no matter how much they complain. By the time they are 15 or so, and then for the rest of their years in their homeschool, however long that is, you can begin granting more and more actual independence. What this looks like in our household is I will give assignments for the week. I don't assign what work has to be done each and every day, and therefore I'm not holding them accountable each and every day that their work is done, but rather at the end of the week. At the end of the week, I need to see all of their work and be sure that it's done. Don't expect what you don't inspect, even with 16-year-olds. Some students might try getting all their work done at the beginning of the week. Those are your naturally responsible types. And then others will say, well, I have this newfound freedom. I'm pretty sure I can do all of it on Friday. And it's your job as mom there to let them have that experience and to be sure that it is all actually done on Friday, if that was their plan. The real key with teaching our kids to be independent is to recognize that it's a process. It's much more than just telling them once and then they just do it. Responsibility comes after accountability. And learning to be responsible for their own work is a process that takes years. And that's why we have years with our kids. Let's make good use of it and teach them through the process, through their own trial and error, to have a strong work ethic and to get their work done without being nannied. Checklists are not a tool that allows us as moms to offload our responsibility onto our kids. The schoolwork being done and being done well is always our responsibility as moms as long as we are homeschooling them. If we are homeschooling, we need to be making sure that the work is done. That's our job. A checklist does not diminish that job. It's just a tool to help us do our job. But it's still our job, even when we do end up with independent learners doing independent work. Checklists are a tool that lets us train our children in practicing diligence if we use them diligently as moms. So the format for your homeschool checklists is really not that important, but you do have to have a format to get started. So I've made some of my homeschool checklists that I've used over the years available to download for free. You can find the link in the show notes to get those templates. There are a few different formats that I've used over the years that are available, and a few different options depending on the stage your child is at. So if you have a young student who's just getting started with a checklist, I've got a format for that. And if you have a high school student who needs to be given his assignments by the week, and of course, held accountable each week, then I've got a format for that as well. So grab those templates and then stay tuned for the next episode where I'm going to share 5 mistakes that moms commonly make, that I have made also, with using homeschool checklists. You can check that one out right here.